Our reading this evening is the whole of Psalm 96, which we can find on page 602 in the Bibles in front of you, in the backs of the chairs. Page 602, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth.
Well, thank you very much for your warm welcome. It's great to be back with you. Do keep Psalm 96 open, and let's pray as we begin. Our Father, please speak to us this evening through your word. Fill our hearts and minds with your truth, that we may be moved to think and speak and live as you would have us do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Who's in charge? Well, that's a pressing question, isn't it, in just about every part of life. Who calls the shots in the office? Who decides where our children get to go to school? There's the future, so many uncertainties and concerns, so much out of our control. Just this week, a reckless driver caused a car crash in which a former Oakhill lecturer was killed. And his wife lies critically ill in hospital, two sons, 7 and 9. All kinds of questions spring to mind. Who's in charge? Turn on the news, warring factions again, Iraq, Afghanistan. World superpowers not really knowing what to do, civilian loss of life. Are those superpowers the problem or the solution? Or as Christians, we hear of other countries where our fellow believers are being persecuted, even executed for their faith. We hear that the state demands complete allegiance to itself and its chosen religion. Who is in charge? So we come closer to home. Now, when there's a crisis, what do we do? Where do we turn? It's okay, we're told, COBRA is meeting. But of course, there's little they can do usually except pick up the pieces. Tony Blair was advised that he is not to do God. Because politicians know if their faith is seen to influence their decisions, they're suspect. Political correctness keeps all mention of God out of the public square. Who is in charge? And then coming right down to us, how are we to live? How are we to think? What are we to think about God? The world is quite happy for you to come to St. Ebbs and think what you like, as long as it doesn't affect them. The problem comes when we and someone else disagree. Who then is in charge? Well, Psalm 96 has a very simple but uncompromising answer. It's summed up in verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. This psalm is all about the Lord, written there in capitals, which means it's talking about Yahweh. That is, not any old God, but the one true God, the God who has revealed himself and entered into relationship with his people Israel. Today, of course, he's revealed himself supremely in his Son, Jesus Christ. The simple foundational Christian truth, Jesus is Lord. Which, of course, means Jesus rules. If you like, the position of who's in charge has been filled. And most kings rule over one nation. In history, there have been a few empires. But Psalm 96 is adamant. Verse 10, the Lord reigns over all the nations. There's not one square inch of this planet, or indeed the entire universe, where Jesus Christ does not exercise his kingly authority. All authority has been given to him. And Psalm 96 exhorts us, this is something to be spoken. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. It's not something that God's people are to keep quiet about or to keep to themselves. You see, we know who's in charge, and the world needs to hear it. So quite a challenge for us. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. No doubt all kinds of questions spring to mind. What does that look like in practice? Well, the rest of the psalm helps us. And the first thing we're to notice is that we're to sing to the Lord who saves. That's verses 1 to 3. Sing to the Lord who saves. Verse 1 begins, sing to the Lord. Again in verse 1, sing to the Lord. Beginning of verse 2, sing to the Lord. Do we get the message? The knowledge of the Lord is expected to have reached our hearts. We just can't keep it in. Our hearts are to be bursting with praise. Whether we're tuneful or not, we'll be moved to sing to the Lord. And notice verse 1, on our lips, a new song. Well, what's this new song? Well, reading on in verse 1, it is for all the earth. Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord always had a concern for the whole world. Never believe anyone who says that was all about Israel. But in the New Testament, it's all the more explicit. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And now, as that message spreads, more people hear about Jesus, they're going to learn new lyrics and break into song to their Saviour. And we are to join in this wonderful worldwide choir, if you like. That song will be new to us when we first become Christians, but of course it's not restricted to that. Don't we experience afresh the goodness and kindness of the Lord day by day? So our singing will never become stale. It'll be old, old truths, but it'll be a new song in our hearts. Halfway through verse 2, the focus changes. As well as singing to God, we're to speak to others. Look what it says. Proclaim his salvation day after day. That means, end of verse 3, we're to speak of his marvellous deeds among all peoples. People today demand, don't they? Where is God at work? Show me. Have you ever had that? Well, the amazing thing is we can point them to what he has done. Old Testament Israel especially would have looked back to the Exodus and the Passover, to the establishment of the kingship in Israel. But we supremely can always speak of those events of King Jesus' death and resurrection. Let's never forget that is God at work, of which we can tell people. In fact, we're to proclaim it to the whole world day after day after day. Because to do that, verse 3, is to declare God's glory if we speak of what he has done. So, verses 1 to 3 are telling us Christians can't be shut up. If we're not talking about the Lord, we must have lost sight of how great he is. We sing to the Lord who saved us, but then we speak of his salvation to others. The two go hand in hand. We sing on a Sunday and speak the rest of the week. So why not take our service sheet home? Less work for the welcome team, but a humble exercise to actually read through what we're singing and ask ourselves how they compare with what we say Monday to Saturday. You see, these truths deserve to be sung and spoken every day of the week. And the good news is we don't have to wait till tomorrow either. What do we talk about after church? I guess too often it doesn't match what we sing about. We chat about marvellous things, that goal last night to match the day, that concert we which is inspirational. Maybe there's family news or progress in our work that we want to share, which is great, and it has its place. But let's not miss the opportunity to speak of God's marvelous deeds to one another. So we'll sing to the Lord who saves. Next, verses 4-6. Fear the Lord who creates. Fear the Lord who creates. Now, from Oxford to Outer Mongolia, everyone has a god or gods, whether that's what they call them or not. They might be gold and silver, or maybe bricks and mortar. Take last week's massive lottery jackpot. I wonder how many of us found ourselves in those idle moments wondering how even a small fraction of the £35.4 million would make life easier and more secure for us. Money is a very seductive god. Our gods may be more intangible, the career, power, the relationship. Well, whoever or whatever our gods may be, the question to ask comes in verse 4. Are they most worthy of praise? Okay, so we've seen the Lord's works of salvation. Let's ask, what have our gods done, or the world's gods done, to match that? Put very simply, can they raise the dead? And that's not all. The psalmist goes on to remind us of that fundamental truth, second half of verse 5. The Lord made the heavens. By which is reminding us, God is the creator of all things. Now, he creates over what he has made. He's made everything, so he rules over everything. Well, so that is to say, we must bring out the negative. To say that the Lord reigns is to say that any other gods do not. That means, as is spelt out in verse 5, the gods of the nations are idols. They are as nothing, useless, unable to do a thing. In fact, no gods at all. So, however sophisticated the religion, however sincere the faith, however successful the lifestyle, if the Lord Jesus is not at its heart, it's as nothing. That's what Psalm 96 is telling us, mere idolatry. Because the rule of the one creator God is unrivaled. So you see, we can speak, we must speak boldly of the Lord Jesus among all the nations on earth. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, be that on a mission trip or in the office or the pub, our Lord made them. And he is the one we're told they are to fear above whatever other gods they might serve. And we speak as well because it's only his acts of salvation that can rescue them from the desperate situation they're in. They need to turn from idols and turn to know the one true God of verse 6. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. So we'll sing to the Lord who saves. Fear the Lord who creates. Next, Psalm 96 exhorts us, worship the Lord who is holy. Verses 7 to 9. Worship the Lord who is holy. So the Lord creates and he saves. How should we treat him? Verses 7 and 8, three times. Ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. It's not an invitation, it's a command. Give to him the glory that is due to his name. A creating, saving God like this is worthy of praise. Of course, the world would think that's a joke. It wants to sideline God, has no time for him. But not what Psalm 96 says. It says this applies to everyone, whether they like it or not. Verse 7. All the families of the nations are to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 9. We and they are to worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And end of verse 9, we don't sideline the Lord, we tremble before him, all the earth. Verse 8 also speaks that we must come to him. But of course, it's God's very holiness that means we can't do that of ourselves. Because we've seen the Lord reigns, But you and I think we do. That means I'm unholy. We've all done the same thing. We've all said, I'm in charge, actually. Israel had done the same, which is why to enter God's courts in verse 8, they had to bring an offering to make atonement for their sin. Of course, the offerings in those days were pointing forward to Christ, the ultimate sin offering. So we trust in him and his sacrificial death. We have free access into the presence of the Lord. We can come. But that doesn't end our obligation. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament explains the once-for-all nature of Christ's sacrifice, but then says there are offerings that remain for us today. For a start, we're to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Sounds like the writer of the Hebrews has been reading Psalm 96. But then the writer there goes on to say, and that's going to be matched by whole lives given in his service, right down to the nitty-gritty of doing good and sharing what we have with others. Those are the offerings that we are to bring to God today. So, let's sing to the Lord who saves. We'll fear the Lord who creates. We'll worship the Lord who is holy. And now we're back to verse 10, the heart of the psalm. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Of course, there's a problem with that verse, isn't there? No doubt it's been on our minds. The world will certainly be quick to point it out. So we're to declare that the Lord reigns. We're told, wake up, smell the coffee, look around. Does it look like it? And aren't we tempted to feel the same way? The world happily carries on just as it wants to, without a second thought about Christ. In fact, they actively dismiss him, and they seem to get away with it. We see the powerful getting their way and the wicked prospering. And then maybe in our own lives at the moment, our circumstances are screaming to us, Jesus surely can't be in charge of this. Well, how do we respond in a situation like that? Well, the psalmist brings us the fourth mark in verses 10 to 13, which is we are to rejoice in the Lord who judges. Rejoice in the Lord who judges. So if the Lord reigns, why doesn't he do something? Which the simple answer is, he will. Verse 13 assures us, the Lord will judge the world in righteousness. That's a promise. Idols, gods, whatever you want to call them, well, they don't speak, but even if they did, they couldn't keep their promises. But our Lord can and will. The Creator is the judge, and he will come to judge. Twice this psalm tells us, verse 10 and verse 13, so we don't miss it, he will judge the peoples of the earth. Those who oppose Jesus now, whatever they might think or say, will one day have to face him and give an account. Now, hearing of such a prospect may not be associated by many with rejoicing, which is what Psalm 96 commands. Instead, there's that nagging question, maybe even for us as Christians. If the Lord were to come to judge this evening, let's say at 9 o'clock, where would that leave us at 9:01? Because the world knows deep down, and we know too, that if we had to face God's judgment on our own account, that would be terrifying. We're not fit to enter his presence. But that's where verses 1 to 3 would have been a great thing to have put into practice. Remember, verse 1 to 3 of Psalm 96 has said, speak continually of God's marvellous deeds of salvation. Now that's to God's glory, for the good of others, but it'll benefit us. Because we'll often be hearing, even from our own mouths, that at the cross of King Jesus, the judgment we deserve has been borne by another. Day by day, we'll speak of this salvation and be reminded we need not fear that judgment. We are completely safe. But even more than that, we'll be looking forward to that great day. And we won't be alone. However it might feel, the whole created order is with us. Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. The prospect of the Lord's coming moves heaven and earth, sea, fields and forests to sing for joy. Because at last the effects of sin, those things we've mentioned, will be undone. Everything will be put right. Injustice will be no more, and truth will be given its rightful place. All then will joyfully declare, the Lord reigns. So you and I, if we're Christians, haven't got it wrong, however it feels on a Monday morning. We're not deluded. In fact, we are the ones in tune with the whole of creation, and we know it's all heading. We declare now that Jesus reigns, and he does. But one day, that declaration will be utterly vindicated. One day, the reign of King Jesus will be implemented in full, in every way, in all the earth. What a fantastic day for us to remember and look forward to. That is why we can rejoice in the Lord who judges. So it's an uncompromising message that Psalm 96 gives us, but very reassuring. The Lord reigns. Jesus is king over all the peoples of the earth. Jesus is king, and his followers will be very easy to spot. Did you notice all the action words which we could ask the children to spot? We'll be singing, proclaiming, declaring, ascribing, worshipping, and rejoicing. Sing to the Lord who saves. Fear the Lord who creates. Worship the Lord who is holy. And rejoice in the Lord who judges. That is how we will say to all the nations, the Lord, our Lord, reigns. Let's pray as we finish. Our Father, thank you that you have established your Son as Lord over all the nations of the earth. Thank you for your acts of salvation for us in him. May we proclaim them day after day after day. And we praise you for that wonderful day coming when there will be no more resistance to the rule of King Jesus, and your creation will be as you intend. May we and the whole earth sing your praises. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.